Would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. This is very commonly considered the Great Commission, isn't it? And I'd like to share, go through this again today to help us understand what Jesus' intent is, present tense. Yesterday, I was at a men's conference, had the privilege of just being there and not having to preach, but to listen, to be encouraged and to be fed. And one of the messages that was shared was from this passage. And the title of the message was The Commander's Intent. Those of you that have some military background or any kind of background where you are under a commander, you realize that as you are under that commander, the commander's job is to communicate his intent. This is the plan. This is what I want to happen. Now you go and you go accomplish that. And this was a nice, this was a fresh perspective for me as this passage, I will admit, and maybe you will as well, becomes so familiar to us because it's so such a regular part of a gospel preaching church, a mission minded church. It becomes so familiar that perhaps we get lost in what is exactly the commander's intent? What is Jesus's intent? Would we agree that Jesus is our commander? I believe that's an important part to where to begin, right? Of course, if Jesus is not your commander, then what he has to say really does not carry any weight with you. All right. Well, by God's grace, may you be brought to understand him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if you're here today and you are professing a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you look at Jesus Christ, and he indeed is the commander-in-chief of your life. So what he says matters. How he directs is the will of God. And so the commander's intent here is to communicate he is the one who has all authority. We see it there in verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So as we think of Jesus Christ, we need to realize, we need to remember that he has all authority and it is rightfully his. It belongs to him. Heaven and earth, all places and all time, all language, all culture, Jesus Christ has been given all authority. Now, it's significant that he says this. The Lord Jesus here is speaking to his 11 disciples. And perhaps there's others there with him, but specifically the 11 disciples, they have been with him. He has suffered, died on the cross, he was buried, and then rose again on the third day. He didn't deserve to die, yet he died a criminal's death. He was buried in a tomb, but yet that tomb was found empty on that third day. And the Lord Jesus appeared to his followers on numerous occasions, one of them being here. And here we see that he is compelled to remind them, I have been given all authority. This we do well to heed as a church, but also as individuals. Of course, the church is made up of individuals, and a church is healthy and well when its members realize that the commander-in-chief, all of us, serve one king, one commander, and it's the Lord. That puts us all at the same place. Because let's face it, we've got all views, different kinds of ideas and perspectives and experiences in life. And boy, it is a mess, isn't it, when we lose sight of the one who is our head. And so the Lord Jesus here is compelled to remind his followers that indeed I am the commander. And what I say matters. And what I say, I can back up. That perspective of all authority carries both meanings. We notice then he says, go you therefore and teach all nations. As we think of Jesus' intent, what is his intent here as he instructs his followers? It is that we are sent out. Go ye therefore. He says, go. Now, so often what this does is used in the context of what's commonly considered foreign missions. That is, you are to go out there somewhere else and serve. Let's remember something that the Lord Jesus here is speaking to men of Galilee in a mountain near Galilee. And we know from the book of Acts that he tells them to stay where? In Jerusalem until the Spirit comes upon you. And we know from Acts 1:8, what? That you go from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But yet he says, go to Jerusalem and stay there. I will meet you there. And by that meeting, it is the Spirit of God that they are waiting for. And the Spirit of God comes upon them, and Acts chapter 2 unleashes that story, communicates that incredible moment. And from this place of Jerusalem, then, we begin to see these disciples carrying out the commander's intent. You see, Jesus wanted his followers to realize something. You are called forth to go. But really, the command that's embedded in this is not go, but rather it is to teach all nations. To, many translations will say, make disciples of all nations. Now the commander's intent, the vision here, must not be overlooked. You as my followers, Jesus says, yes, you are to go. And you are to go and you are to make disciples. But listen to this. You are to go and make disciples of all nations. It is similar to that which happens when I take a rock and I throw it out into the lake. That rock makes an impact where it meets the water, doesn't it? And you hear the splash, but what do you see following? And you see the ripples. And I've not done a study of this, it'd be interesting to know, but does the ripple from a rock reach the shore? I bet it does. And maybe that's a poor illustration, but nevertheless, the commander's intent is go and make disciples of all nations. And when you combine what Acts chapter 1 says, we realize we're Christ, where God meets you, start there. That's your Jerusalem. But don't stop. Realize that as you are investing in making disciples, the goal is that all nations are reached, that the ripple effect of you coming to Christ is felt around the world. So the obvious question then is, well, Lord, your intent is for us to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, what does that look like? And here he gives us these two points. What's fascinating is he begins with baptism. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The second, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now hear this. If the commander's intent is for his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, and involving that begins here with this subject of baptism, I believe it is something we must not miss, the importance of baptism in the lives of the followers of Christ. The very fact that Jesus Christ here, in one of his last times of addressing his disciples, makes a point, you are to be baptizing them. Baptism had become a thing recognized, an act recognized around the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Now, yes, there were different forms of baptism prior to that, many of them ceremonial in nature, but John the Baptist at the Jordan River was baptizing people according to the gospel of repentance. It was a preparation for Jesus Christ who was to come and who did come, and indeed, he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. What did baptism signify? And why did Jesus want it to be a part of making disciples of all nations? It is because baptism is what drew the attention that God is at work in you, and you want to make sure other people know. You see that the baptism is that public communication of, hey, listen, I am a Christian. My life has changed. My Lord is no longer me, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the splash of God's work in your life needs to have a ripple that has an effect that reaches the world. Listen, I know baptism doesn't save you. It is not an act of grace. Let's be clear on that. Let's not be confused. But let us not belittle either. Taking the step and saying, listen, I am a Christian. This is my testimony. I identify, get this, with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is who I am now. Don't you see how Jesus Christ, why he says baptizing them? Because that is going to have an effect, because it's public, because families, co-workers are going to know or observe that you indeed, you have changed, your life has changed, and you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is a recognition in your life that you are in Jehovah God, saved by his Son, Jesus Christ, and indwelt by his Spirit. If we're going to make disciples, baptizing is an important part. And I've appreciated, even as recent as yesterday, being challenged on this point as a pastor. I've been challenged to the fact that maybe I don't put enough emphasis upon this important ordinance of the church. Have you been baptized? Have you publicly identified and said, listen, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. This is my testimony. Yes, I do ask you when you're baptized to share your testimony. Now, you might say, that's not in the Bible, Pastor. I know that. But listen to me. When we do baptisms, I encourage you to invite anybody and everybody that knows you. And they come not just to see you get wet. Listen, they're coming because this is a significant identifying marker in your life. That you're saying who you are and whose you are. And who better than to hear it from your lips? Baptism is an important marker for a Christian. It does not save you. I know that. You know that. It's not a special act of grace. But as we're talking about making disciples, let's think through this. Jesus included this in this commission. And so we do well to heed this. And I'd encourage you, as we have a baptism service coming up, would you be a part? Would you bring family, friends? Because you know what? That's going to be yet another opportunity for them to hear the gospel. And let's remember the commander's intent. To go and make disciples of all nations. It's got to start somewhere. It's going to start with you, where God meets you. And then from there, dear ones, have the vision of Christ our commander. There's a world out there that needs to know him. And then there's this teaching. Let's look at what he says here. He says, teaching, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, we look at that first word, teaching, and we immediately go in our mind through this checklist and we say, can I teach or not? Am I a teacher? Nope. Can I get in front of people and share things? Nope. And you go through your own checklist. But so often what happens is you hear the commander's instruction. And then you're going to go through and you're going to itemize it and you're going to say, this is where I can fit and this is where I don't fit. And tragically, what happens is we get this mixed up with spiritual gifts and we miss the wonderful opportunity that God has given to each of us to teach others, to go and make disciples of all nations, to see them baptized and to see them taught. How did God work in your life to bring you to faith? It could be through a variety, innumerable, as many as are here, different ways. from that point on, what happened? What's happening in your life right now? Are you being taught? Embedded in this is, if you're a follower of Christ, you are going to have a desire to be taught. Why? Because you're a follower of Christ and you want to know him. And you listen, that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He taught them. He lived life with them. When they messed up, he helped them. He loved them. Were they always teachable? No. Peter's so special, isn't he? He tried to help Jesus out so many times. But God was patient. Jesus was patient with him. And you have Peter in the end of John. What is Jesus doing with him? He's saying, Peter, go feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed them. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Now you teach. What are some ways that you can be taught? Expose yourself to teaching. Because listen, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to want to learn. God gave us the church as the one of the key parts of fulfillment of this great commission. Whereas in the church, we are able to be exposed regularly to learning, to challenging teaching from the Word of God. Are you exposing yourself to the teaching of the Word of God? There are many other ways that you could think of, but I believe primarily you have the church. So as a follower of Christ, yes, you have a desire to be taught, but you know what? We are to also to be teaching. Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. I will admit that sometimes I wonder, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to interact with this individual or this family? What am I supposed to teach them? What does he say? Whatsoever I have commanded you. I mean, you could take that most directly and look at the Gospels and look at what Jesus has told us. But I believe it expands naturally from what just Jesus says to the entirety of all of God's Word. For Jesus is the Word. So, are you going and making disciples of all nations? Realizing that God wants to use you as a part of reaching the world. And maybe you don't ever get on an airplane. But you don't know that the person you just spent yesterday's lunch with and shared a special teaching from the scriptures, that one day God might call them to get on an airplane. I have been, someone once told me, it's reproducing reproducers. It's a multiplication process where you minister to one or two and they minister to one or two, and you can just do the math and the world is reached. Just think about it now for a moment. Think about how far the gospel has spread. It's on every continent. It's in hundreds of languages. Are there still unreached people groups? Yes. Did you know there are unreached people groups right here in America? Did you know that a large population of our youth are unreached people groups? That they have no concept of who the true Jesus is of the Bible? Here in America? Yeah. So, the commander's intent is pretty important, and I appreciated that exhortation yesterday in my life. And today, I trust you as well. You stand up straight, and you salute him, and you say, "Yes, sir, I understand. Go. You want me to go and make disciples of all nations? Yes, sir, I understand that you have all authority and you can back it up. Yes, sir, you're always with me. I'm never alone." Heavenly Father, this is your church and this is your word. Have your way in our hearts. Perhaps today you're here and Jesus Christ is not your commander. If there's any sort of confusion on this matter, oh, I pray that you today would speak to somebody here that you know is a follower of Christ, that somebody that you can trust. I'd be glad to talk with you or someone else. That's fine. Doesn't have to be pastor. But we can share with you who Jesus Christ is, that we all are sinners. Because of that sin, we've offended a holy, righteous God. But Lord Jesus, God's Son died on a cross to pay the penalty for that sin so that you don't have to pay that penalty, but that you can be clothed with his righteousness and have eternal life. That's a gift of grace, and that's extended to you today. Maybe you're here today and you said, "Yes, I believe that, but I've never been baptized. I've never made it public. I've never identified publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe God wants me to do that." Let's talk. Let's talk about it. Let's do this. Let's say, "Yes, sir." Let's get in step. Let's follow his will, his intent. Are we teaching? Go and make disciples of all nations. Are we teaching others? Fathers, are you investing in the lives of your wives and children? I was challenged by that, church. Because you know what? When you think about, am I teaching people? You go through your entire list of people in life, and you know what so often we do is we miss our own families. How tragic. How tragic. You got coworkers, you got neighbors. This is what our lives are to be about. And remember, God knows your occupation. God knows your energy. God knows your health. God knows your time. But he has you where you are to go and make disciples of all nations. God, have your way in our hearts.